Speaking of sexual nepotism, I'm so sorry, this is the introduction. Logan Dean.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You don't have to sleep with anybody in the Nerdlogs, but Eric is single, if anyone is sleeping. I wrote this piece about a month ago for another thing, but it's ridiculous, so I'll read it here. It's called Fat Orson Welles and the Case of the Gilded Goblet. I remember it was late summer because I had slept through my tuxedo. I was being removed from my town car by two strapping young valets using a generous amount of virgin olive oil. As I readjusted my cummerbund, I noticed a shifty-looking man giving me quite the side eye. Upon making eye contact, he turned and disappeared into an alleyway. Not one to miss a meal, I entered the restaurant I had traveled halfway around the world to dine at. Approaching the check room, I was greeted by a woman who seemed to have the benefit of a mirthful soul. Removing my cloak and hat, I was sure to give her specific instructions. My fedora is filled to the brim with purple nerd candies. I know exactly how many are contained within. If all the nerds are not accounted for when I return, I shall have words with your direct supervisor. This same edict goes for the satchel of bacon concealed within my cloak. With the woman's upbeat attitude summarily quashed, I proceeded to my table. I was a frequent patron of this restaurant because it knew of my and accommodated my penchant for eating two pre-meal rotisserie chickens. Upon cracking the ribs of the second chicken, I noticed a note had been slipped into the chest cavity. I set it aside and proceeded to destroy the chicken. I continued to ignore this curious note as my courses arrived. One large pot of clam bisque. A salad that I eyed with thinly veiled contempt. An entire school of almond-encrusted salmon. Another chicken. And two chocolate raspberry cakes. I paired this with three bottles of 1947 Côtes du Rhône and half a glass of water. As some of the waiters helped me from my chair, I remembered the curious note from earlier. I took it and put it into my jacket pocket. I retrieved my cloak and fedora and was relieved when, upon putting it on my head, I was greeted by the familiar rain of nerds that announces my exit. After squeezing into my hired car, I remembered the note. I removed it from my jacket and began to read aloud. Dear Mr. Welles, you do not know me, but I believe I have an interesting proposition regarding a legendary item of intrigue, the Gilded Goblet of Lord Cronin. At this point, my interest was piqued. I continued. Lord Cronin's goblet is said to contain jewels from his travels, including a gem from another dimension that he obtained on the Isle of Cyprus. At this point, I fell asleep. Upon waking, I was surprised to find myself standing upon a bluff overlooking the sea. The shifty man from outside the restaurant standing before me. Mr. Welles, he began, I trust you have read my note. I read a portion of it before going into my customary post-meal comatose state. The note itself was pasted to my shirt, thanks to the copious amounts of chicken grease on it. Ah, yes, here it is, something about a goblet and a space rock. No, Mr. Welles, a gem, a very special gem. It is supposedly the remnant of a pocket universe destroyed upon the creation of our universe proper. I was vaguely aware of what he was saying as I remembered the bacon concealed in my cloak. What use would I have for such a thing? I asked with a mouthful of smoked pig. I assure you, sir, it is very special. Legend has it that the gem controls the very fabric of reality. I see. And where is this goblet? Obviously, I'm in no state to go traipsing through the jungle on some fool's errand. That is the reason I have sought you out in particular, he said. I believe you already own it. While it is true that I do own many priceless goblets, I believe I would know if I owned an object of omnipotent power. That is the nature of the gem's deception. It does not reveal itself until a worthy suitor mutters this incantation. He handed me two pieces of paper. One had an incantation that I could not read, but immediately recognized as cuneiform. The other was a picture of what I immediately identified as my cookie milk goblet, a goblet I use exclusively for dunking cookies into milk. When I raised my head to inform my new friend of this development, he had disappeared, leaving me on the bluff next to my car, my driver rousing from a fitful slumber. We quickly made our way to the airport where my charter jet was waiting to return us to Los Angeles. Luckily, the steward had seen fit to stock this flight with blood sausages and uncooked penne noodles for me to sleep snack on. Our arrival in Los Angeles was uneventful as I was carted from the plane and placed into a limousine while unconscious. I woke as we were pulling up to my manor. I immediately fast-walked to the goblet room. In the case on the far wall was my cookie goblet. I removed it and headed to the kitchen. As I was unable to read the incantation, I rubbed it on the largest gem in the goblet. It began to glow with an intense fury, and I could see the expanse of all space and time before me. I threw the goblet down and ate approximately one dozen scotch eggs to regain my strength. I then took the goblet and, using all of my willpower, threw it into my pit of burning Don Quixote footage, where it melted and was destroyed. The gem lingered before cracking from the heat of the burning nitrate film stock. The shrieks of the unquiet dead filled the air as the object out of time was returned to the ether from whence it came. I then got into my limousine and made my way to the airport for a 9 o'clock dinner reservation in Paris, France.
Logan Dean. All right, y'all are going to learn something. Does anybody know what Orson Welles' last film role was?
Transformers.
Transformers the movie, 1986. He played Unicron, a giant robot planet that eats other planets. On the DVD release of Transformers the movie, they interview the director, who is this Japanese animation dude. I hope this doesn't sound racist. I don't think he knew much about American cinema, because when the interviewer asked him about Orson Welles, all he could recall is that he said something very offhand, like Orson was so fat they had to use a dolly to wheel him into the studio. These are the last words spoken about a man who basically helped define American cinema. So hey, you know, but Transformers the movie is also fucking cool. Counterpoint. I'm a little bit of a Transformers scholar. P.S. Guy's the only single member of the Nerdlogs.